May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
The place where I spend most of my time, here in the church, affords me very few opportunities to do what I really love to do. Obviously, I love this stuff too. That's not what I'm trying to say. I want to talk about something in particular that I really love to do that I don't get to do very often in the church. That's what I'm trying to say. And that is spend time in a spreadsheet. Now, I hope this isn't too niche, but anyway, we'll see how we go. So when I do get the opportunity to dive into a spreadsheet, I am all over it. I really love this stuff. I just love the simultaneous simplicity and complexity of a spreadsheet, that you can arrange data and figure in all kinds of ways, but at the root of everything, there is an inescapable logic to it all. Causes have effects, problems have solutions, and sequences unfold in order like clockwork. That appeal of formulas and logic and orderliness doesn't translate to the rest of my life, however, no matter how much I might like it to. And it's hard sometimes to translate that into the church as well. Like if I'm trying to apply that same method of thinking to the scriptures. So take our first reading today, for example. In the reading, we hear the prophet's word from God to the shepherds of Israel, the leaders of the nations, of the nation. They have been acting badly toward the people in their care, the sheep of Israel. If this was a spreadsheet, I would be tempted to imagine the different ways that the shepherds are acting as though there was a drop-down menu. And if you don't know, you can do a drop-down menu in spreadsheet. I can show you how to do that. But so in this drop-down menu, you could choose the behavior of the shepherds of Israel from the options, and then you'd see what would result depending on your choice. So according to that reading, as a shepherd, you'd have to look at the list. How have you been treating the sheep? So select from the list. Have you been clothing yourself with their wool? You click there. Or not feeding the sheep? You choose that second option. If you've been failing to heal the sick, click here. If you've been ignoring the lost and the strays, you click that option. And if you have been eating the fatted sheep, that's the last option on the list. Now, from the perspective of the sheep, none of those options seems very good. But a spreadsheet is impartial. Even still, it doesn't seem to matter which option is chosen. The outcome is the same. The sheep are scattered and become food for the wild animals. Effectively, no shepherd. None of the options seem to give a desired outcome. This scripture passage doesn't work so well in this method of analysis. But we don't have all the information. The rest of that 34th chapter of Ezekiel is very helpful, but we didn't have time for the whole reading in our reading today. Now, the problem of bad shepherds is not a new problem at the time that Ezekiel is writing this passage, but it's also still an issue today. You can imagine our leaders today picking from that same drop box of options and seeing that it can describe fairly well their behavior. And we have similar results. And that's why in the rest of that chapter that we didn't hear from, God promises to make some changes. It will be God who will tend the lost sheep of Israel, gathering them together, healing the wounded. The leaders of the people will be judged, and they will face justice. And in a further promise, God will set up David as shepherd in place of God. But by David, God isn't referring to King David. Instead, God is referring to the heir of the throne of David, the coming Messiah. Jesus will be that good shepherd that the people need. And we heard some of that recently on Good Shepherd Sunday. Now, when we look at the gospel, we see what seems to be a clear if-then statement. And if you love spreadsheets, then you'll know that there is a formula for if-then. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So there are only two usable options. Either yes, you love Jesus, or no, you don't love Jesus. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that most people gathered here fall into the yes category. So when you select yes, you love Jesus, then the formula produces one result. You will keep my commandments. Uh-oh, that's a little trickier. All of us who ticked that box that said, yes, we do love Jesus, we're in a bit of a bind now. We love Jesus, so we follow his commandments. All of them? All the time? But wait, so logically, and these formulas depend on logic, does that mean that if we don't keep Jesus' commandments, that we don't love him? So if A is true, then B is true. But if B is false, does that mean that A is false? Because if A is false, then we know that B is false, but does it go both ways? Now, in a spreadsheet, we can follow the logic much more easily than we can follow the logic in the scripture. We can see which rule comes first, and then we know the answer. But in real life, we don't need spreadsheet rules to recognize that this is a problem. We all, or nearly all of us, said we love Jesus, but I think it's probably safe to say that we don't also all keep his commandments, at least not all of them all of the time. So what does that mean? But there's also an additional complication, because Jesus adds an additional clause. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. So this ups the ante. There is more added. If you do this, then this, and this. Now, I think in a spreadsheet you can embed formulas, but I think we're starting to see that the logic is breaking down. It's not going to compute. There are too many variables. But there is some good news. In the previous chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus gave a new commandment. You probably already know what it is. I give you a new commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. Now, suddenly, the idea of keeping Jesus' commandments seems a little closer to being in reach. Loving one another is something we can do, or at least we can work toward, even if it's not perfect every time. And here's another challenge to the logic. Maybe Jesus' and was not a dependent and. That whole and clause, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Maybe that clause is not dependent on the clause that comes before it. Maybe it's not, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, but you will keep my commandments, full stop, and I will ask the Father. Now, this is starting to sound more like the fine print of a contract, but maybe Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit, the other advocate or helper, and that is not contingent upon the commandment keeping, but just an event that is unconnected that will follow later. The Holy Spirit, which we hear about Jesus sending later, and which we are anticipating on Pentecost Sunday in 2 weeks, is coming regardless of how well we demonstrate our love of Jesus in our commandment keeping. Come to think of it, that's probably what Jesus was getting at in the very next part. I will not leave you orphaned, I am coming to you. Jesus, who rarely follows conventions of logic anyway, isn't making sense if he's saying that, I'm about to leave you, but I am coming to you. That just doesn't make sense. But it does make sense if he is saying, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm sending a helper to be with you. Especially since the helper that he's sending, the Holy Spirit, is another person alongside him of the Trinity. Logic and Trinity, we're going to leave that whole challenge for a few weeks' time until we have Trinity Sunday. But as we try to make sense of all of this, by whatever method we use, may we all continue to strive to know the ways of God, even when we don't understand. May we be guided in the wisdom of God. and have the humility to know the limitations of our own capacity. In the name of the one holy and undivided Trinity, that great mystery of our faith. Amen.